The Digital Head Voice podcast is brought to you by MedTech World in collaboration with Digital Head Malta. Episode number 14. Today we're speaking to Innocent Clement. Two very interesting, you know, names to have. And Innocent is CEO and founder of SibaHead. And when you explore SibaHead, you start seeing the words head coaches, digital therapeutics, diabetes, chronic disease. So quite a lot there to listen to. And with that in mind, let's dive deep into the interview. So welcome, Innocent. So nice to meet you. I love your cap, by the way. That's really cool. So I think it's like from the New York Yankees, but that's definitely another story. I'm not basically a baseball enthusiast myself, but you know, I guess like there's always something to learn. So Innocent, CEO and founder of SibaHead. SibaHead, like I was wondering, like Innocent, how did you end up in Digital Head? Like, what's your story? What brought you here today? Like, out of all places, on a Digital Head podcast organized by MedTech World and Digital Head Malta. Like, how did you end up here? Tell us all about your story.
Again, thank you, Stefan, for really taking the time to connect with me this morning to really chat about my journey, talk about SIBA, intersection between digital health and medtech growth. So there's always going to be that intersection between digital health, medtech, it's all about technology, right? So I'm excited to be here today to share insight, share my experience and all of that, all through my journey, how I started and where I am today. First, again, I always tell people I got into digital health or entrepreneurship by accident. But I mean, it's also very funny when I mentioned that.
It's like the trend, you know, this by accident. I have to admit, it's not the first time I heard it's Innocent. So don't worry, you're definitely not alone.
Yeah. So for me, I am a person that always loved anything that's going to challenge me. I call myself a disruptor, someone who really loves to disrupt the status quo, and really also an innovator, right? Someone who loves to innovate. And looking at the healthcare space today, I mean, you would agree with me that really healthcare is moving very, very fast, again, with technology, not just in the healthcare space, all aspects of what we do today in our lives today, technology has really taken the lead in the space. So healthcare wouldn't be the last, right? So healthcare suddenly, for us to really survive, to be able to provide the care for our patients, suddenly we need to key into the movement in terms of the digital health technology and medtech as well, right? So this is why I'm here today, and that's why I love what I do, because again, I know technology, suddenly that's where healthcare is going to lead into, right? I mean, obviously you can see the changes already happening with how technology is helping to shape healthcare, helping providers provide care, when they need to provide care, helping us also meet patients where they are, right, at the right time. So it is very important because technology allows you to provide care at patients, where patients are, meet them where they are, also as well as the convenience for them to access it when they need it. Unlike, you know, traditional model today that you have to schedule time and drive to a physical location to meet with a doctor or a nurse and all of that, that is changing suddenly with the technology. And that's why I love what I do. My journey into the digital health space started in 2015, where I was also one of the CEO, co-founder of a digital therapeutic company called Kaya Health. Kaya is also in the...
All right. Space. I've heard about Kaya. How cool. All right. I didn't know about that, Innocent. Like I met some of the... And also met like some of the founding members of Kaya Health when I was for Frontiers Health in Berlin.
Yeah.
I think it's been 2 years already, my goodness, 2 or 3 years ago. So it was quite a meeting there, and I was really happy actually. I got a voucher for like 1 year free Kaya, but I have to admit, because I got so caught up, I didn't just say okay, let me get started. So it's really interesting how things turn out. So what? But tell me, Innocent, tell me more, because we're on to something here.
Absolutely. So that's how my journey started. You know, again, connected with Manuel and Constantine, and then we begin
yeah,
to work
exactly.
in Kaya Health, right? So Kaya started in 2015, 2016, and then went live in the US in 2017. So I led,
okay.
you know, the initiative, North America, the growth here within the US before, you know, again, when we started Kaya, I mean, obviously you would agree with me that there's a lot of people would really are not really aware or familiar with, you know, what's going on in the digital healthcare space. So people also thought that, man, are you guys, what are you guys doing? This perception is, will this even work? Will people even use it, right? So people are like very skeptical about, you know, digital health then. So, I mean, and, you know, with time now, you see, begin to see adoption, people begin to understand the value that you create using digital healthcare because, you know, it provides you access. It's also convenient for you. It's also cheaper, right? So, and that's how my journey started. And, you know, I left Kaya now to start Siba. So for me, Siba Health started as a result of my own personal experience with managing patients with chronic disease condition today. I mean, you would agree, there's a lot of frustration, both from the provider side, as well as from the patient side, right? In terms of how they are managed and treated today. And, you know, so for me, who also understand some of the pain points from patients, from provider, as well as the patient side, I totally believe that really we need to begin to see how we can be part of the change, how we can really begin to support our patient, you know, really providing them with a care that is truly personalized using what we call the holistic precision medicine approach to really uncover what the root causes are for every patient, because it shouldn't be a symptom-based approach. It shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all. Healthcare should truly, truly be personalized. And that's, you know, what I love about what we do. And suddenly, there's no way you're going to be able to do that without technology, right? So that's why, you know, Siba is also integrating technology as part of what we do every day to ensure that, you know, we're able to support the patient, provide the care that the patient needs, to ensure that we're able to empower the patient. So the patient are also able to track their journey, how well they're doing, and providers are also able to track and see how they can proactively connect with the patient based on, you know, the data trends that they're seeing from, you know, either the connected devices, the wearables, right, that it's integrated into our portal so that we can proactively identify those who are at high risk and then provide them with intervention. So there's a predictive analytic aspect of it. But again, I know we'll talk more of this once we go through the conversation. So I'm happy to share more lights and insight into how we're approaching it and how we're looking at it.
Wow. So, you know, so I would really call you actually a digital health veteran, much more than me, because you had you've kicked off another startup and then you led the growth. So, and then you decided to do the jump and the leap yourself. So, quite some work you've done, innocent. You know, so it wasn't like definitely it wasn't a straightforward journey for you, but I'd like to hear more about Siba. You know, because I have this impression, at least, and you've mentioned something extremely important, because I have to admit, for the past 2 years, we've been really distracted by COVID-19.
Yeah.
Like everywhere, we've been distracted by it. And we might have actually given it a bit of a, given chronic diseases a bit more of a lower priority. Even though we've tried, at the end of the day, there's so much attention you can give at the same time. So even as a clinician, if you try to, you have, for example, 50 patients, and you are focused on a specific disease or on a specific kind of disease, there still is going to be the concern of COVID in the back of your mind. And that even takes mental energy and even willingness possibly to kind of embark on these kind of transformation processes and transformation projects, but not only transformation of like digital from paper to digital, for example, but transformation of mentality, a change in behavior. Whereas before you used to have to depend on medical records, you now have to look at the data and you have much more data to ingest and kind of make sense of. So in reality, I am sure that you guys are working hard to build this bridge between your technologies, healthcare professionals, and organizations. How do you make that work? Do you go on site? What do you do? Like, how do you make the experience work for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, this is also a very excellent question. So very important as well to really be able to also share how we're doing it, right? Because you remember I also mentioned that technology is certainly, it's taking the lead in terms of what we do as human every day now. Again, certainly healthcare will not be lagging behind. Healthcare has to key in into using some of this technology. So in terms of how patient access our platform, you know, for us is very important. We don't have those brick and mortar where a patient had to come to a physical location, right? So for us, the goal is to meet patient where they are and then when they need to meet with us, right? So it's important. Access, convenience, very important for patients. And how do you do that? Suddenly, you know, it's either you have to deliver whatever your model of care is via technology. And then with that, that's how you're able to connect with patients, meet them wherever they are. Obviously, there are going to be challenges with that, right? For those who probably are not able to use some of those technology, right? So we also suddenly understand that. And then we have what we call an alternative to how we can really reach to some of those hard to reach patients or patients who don't have what technology challenge, right? So there are different ways that we suddenly, that we have within our SIBA that would allow us to really connect with this patient. So I will give you another instance. Let's say a patient that that it's not really, does not have a device that is compatible with, let's say, the Freestyle Libre that you're tracking the patient continuous blood glucose, right? You send them devices. So what we do is we have what we call health coaches. The health coaches would connect with the patient and help them set those devices up, right? Because the goal is to really see how you can help the patient. But again, it's a hands-on, right? Sort of because our health coaches play important role in terms of how we deliver our care. So because, you know, if you look at our model today, our model has the doctor, the dietitian, the health coaches, all working collaboratively to support the patient. So there's a coordination there, right? The dietitian are there to support the patient to ensure that, you know, they're recommending dietary or nutritional recommendation for patient based on what it's meant for them, not just because, oh, patient A needs to eat this and patient B does not need to eat this. No, we don't want to have a one size fit all. We want to ensure that everything we do is truly personalized. So the doctor connect with the patient first, and then review what we call the advanced lab, review the comprehensive questionnaire. Based on all that information, we're looking at, you know, micronutrient, environmental factors like environmental toxins, we're looking at inflammation markers, all this microbiome and all of that. We're looking at all this information so that we can truly understand who truly this patient is and how we can better support the patient and how we can uncover what the root causes of this patient chronic disease condition is, and then begin to put together an intervention. Once the doctor completes the process, the next step for the patient is to connect with a dietitian. And the dietitian now will review the recommendation that's put together by the doctor, and then put together a nutritional plan. And based on what have been identified, either nutritional gap or micronutrients, right? And the next step, you connect with the health coach. The health coach is the one that will be there to handhold this patient, is going to be there to support the patient all through the patient healthcare journey to ensure that the patient is getting the right support, to ensure the patient knows that there's someone there for them if they need. But again, obviously, it's not possible if you don't have technology. So what we did is to build what we call a remote patient monitoring capability. That remote patient monitoring capability, we have an open API source that we connect all devices in terms of, let's say, your Oura Ring. Oura Ring tracks your sleep. It tracks your heart rate variability. Freestyle Libre tracks your continuous blood glucose. And then we have the weighting scale that tracks not just your weight, but body mass composition, bone density, and all of that. And then, so all the devices are all integrated into our remote patient monitoring platform. So for us, we're able to track data trends real time, identify, you know, patient data, if there are any challenges or if there are any data that is trending in a direction that shouldn't be trending. And we'll connect with this patient proactively. And then for the patient, what that does for them is what we call the empowerment piece. It empowers the patient because the patient now is part of the journey, it's part of the process. They track their journey when they start and where they are today. So that allows them to be very engaged to connect with the providers. And very importantly, what we also do is to ensure that we build what we call trust between the patient and the providers, right? So that, again, it's not very transactional because the current healthcare space today is very, very transactional. 5-10 minutes, you're out. But we are building trust with our patient, establishing relationship. The patient knows that we're there to support them. And another aspect of the technology that we have that is also very important is the predictive analytic model that is able to predict, right, what's going on based on a data trend over time per patient. With that, you're able to really proactively zero in on this patient and see why is the data trending in a direction that it shouldn't be trending, given all intervention that's already in place so that you can connect and maybe reevaluate with this patient, because it's so very, very important. That's why technology is very important. And then for those who probably don't have the like the smartphone or whatever, we send them some other devices that it's connected using a hub, right? So the data automatically transferred through that hub and it comes through our platform, so they don't have to do anything. Because again, obviously with technology, there's always going to be that challenge. So we had to really be very creative in how we really connect with this patient, with, you know, providing them with an alternative. And really, we'll also be able to send them what we call mobile phlebotomies that can go to their home and collect blood samples if they're able to collect themselves, right? So there are three options for our patient when we collect samples. We send either a mobile phlebotomies that go to them. The second, either we mail them the lab kits from the lab directly to them and the samples are collected. And then they drop it off at any FedEx or UPS location, and the samples are sent back to the lab where the samples are analyzed, right? Or we send them the kits and the patient collect the sample themselves. So there are options for the patient. So obviously that's why it is very important to also meet this patient where they are, to ensuring that we are really providing what we call that convenience, that patient-centric approach that we pride ourselves on, and the true personalization.
Let me just absorb what you've told me. You guys are doing quite a lot of things. I have to admit, I was really impressed with the part about the mobile phlebotomist, especially.
Yeah.
Because I have to be honest with you, when it comes to head coaches, when it comes to continuous glucose monitoring, it's not the first time I've heard them, but mobile phlebotomist. That's really, really, really interesting, because there's definitely in the vision of digital head for all, to make sure that no one is left behind.
Yeah.
Having that kind of approach and even connecting it to technology so that you can deal with scale.
Yep.
That means that, because I think the biggest crucial thing of technology is dealing with scale. If you don't have technology, it's extremely difficult to deal with scale. It's much more difficult, yeah. Because imagine trying to do everything in paper and following the paper workflow and following the paper trail, and even being able, like it's not, it's practically physically impossible just to depend on an old kind of technology, because paper in reality is a kind of technology, but it's an old one. You know, it's something that doesn't really adapt to scale. So when you mentioned all these things, I said, okay, wow. And like the biggest question that I have in mind, are you focused on a particular disease, innocent? Or are you working with an organization and you can have people with all kinds of medical conditions or with no medical conditions, but just you want them to prevent from getting the disease in the first place? Like, so who's your audience? Like, who are you working with? Who are your patients?
Excellent. This is also a very good question. So for us, again, like I said, it's important to ensure that patients, wherever they are, no matter their background, their race, their gender, should be able to access quality healthcare. The way you do that, you know, to provide access, because we also know that healthcare is very expensive. Not a lot of people can afford it. And that's why you see a lot of people would not even want to go to the hospital. So we try as much as we can to ensure that, you know, we're providing healthcare for what our patients deserve, as well as, you know, the access, and as well as in terms of the cost, right? It's also minimal as compared to what you pay when you go to the other traditional model. So really, if you look at our business model today, our target, we target self-funded employer. So self-funded employer, they provide insurance benefit for their employees. So we sell to them, and then they provide this at no cost to their employees, right? The second aspect of it is we'll also sell to health plan, like, you know, health insurance company like Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Anthem. All these insurance company have members. So they are always looking for a way to really cut down the cost of, you know, managing their patient with chronic disease condition, as well as improve the access. So, and then as well as improve the health of their members. So when they do that, they reduce the number of time that their members will either go to emergency room or take unnecessary medication or even do unnecessary procedure, right? So you also touched on something very important here. And if we're targeting those who already have a disease condition, or we have a specific disease condition that we're targeting, very important for us as a platform, what we're building is we're building a multi platform that would address multiple chronic disease conditions. But now our flagship program is the type 2 diabetes reversal. So pre and type 2 diabetes, right? That's one of the top cost driver for both employer as well as self-funded employer. So we're targeting this, which is what we found out to be the top cost driver. And 1 out of 9 Americans today has type 2 diabetes. And I'm sure in Malta, when I spoke there too as well, it's a huge burden there in Malta, as well as across the world. So we're looking at this top high cost driver for either employer or also individuals or as well as health plan, right? Another aspect of it, again, we're also able to provide what we call a preventive approach. We target those who are at high risk of developing this disease condition, or those who already they have pre-disease condition, let's say pre-type 2 diabetes, we're able to also help them. And then for those who are truly interested in prevention, yes, they also have are able to work with us, right? So we'll call it the advanced primary care model. So the advanced primary care model, what that does is really you're able to bucket those who are interested in prevention, those who are at higher risk of developing 1 or 2 chronic disease condition, based on what you've seen from the claims data, based on all the medication they're on, we're able to work with them, right? And then for those who already have the disease condition of interest, we're also able to provide them our services, right? So let's say type 2 diabetes. We call our type 2 diabetes program a reversal program because we believe that type 2 diabetes can be reversed. A lot of people don't believe that it's possible. It's possible. The way you do that is, you know, look at that. Take every individual as a unique individual. Try to understand what are the drivers, what is actually causing this type 2 diabetes today for this individual. The only way you can do that is, you know, our custom panel that we put together, which is, it allows us to really dig deeper to uncover what the root causes are for this particular patient and be able to put together an intervention that is truly personalized for this patient, because no one patient is the same. Every patient we're all unique, right? So we're looking at an approach where we want to personalize our approach to every patient. We're looking at, you know, looking at taking every patient as unique. We're building a solution that is truly patient-centric, which is also very important as you continue to, you know, build healthcare, because that's the reason why, you know, a lot of times people, there's always this, oh, it's personalized, personalized. You know, how truly is that, you know, when you talk about personalization, how truly are they really doing the personalization? For SIBA, we pride ourselves with that really it has to be truly, truly personalized for every patient that comes to us today. We want to uncover the root causes rather than if patient comes to you today with a headache, oh, okay, let's treat the headache, and then the patient goes. But obviously we know that this headache is coming from somewhere. Why don't we try to understand why is the patient having a headache today, right? So to cut the long story, you know, again, it's like, you know, we're targeting—
No problem. It's fine.
Top cost drivers for employer. Our flagship program today is a type 2 diabetes reversal. We're adding other programs like the digestive disorder. We're also adding mental health, depression and anxiety. And because again, these are top cost drivers for everyone today. You would agree with me, COVID today has heightened depression and anxiety for everyone today, and the huge market. And you're looking at what's out there today, everybody is just, you know, providing medication management and all of that. But for us, we want to understand how we can better support the patient. Why is the patient even having depression and anxiety in the first place? Uncover what the root causes are, then put together an intervention that can support this patient.
Wow. You know, like, in fact, when we were talking about the prevalence of diabetes in Malta, we're looking at somewhere between 10 to 20%, you know, of the population. That's a lot. And even something more interestingly, even more practical sense, if you go to our hospital, our general hospital, or go to a couple of head centers in Malta, you'll find a clinic just dedicated to diabetes, for example. So even just having that, it makes you realize the scale of the problem that you have when you have so many people affected by this disease that you have to have a clinic for them. Yeah. You have to have an outpatient. You know, it's a lot. But not to get depressed so quickly about all of that, because you are doing such great work, and also because of, you know, we've been through quite a lot, and the anxiety seems to be maintained for us as well through other things that are happening around the world. But let's talk about positive things now. And what does the future look like for digital health and medtech? Now, maybe even not just SIBA, but at the end of the day, how do you see SIBA fitting in this whole picture, in this digital transformation of healthcare? How do you see it fitting in and making sense, you know, being part, an integral part of the puzzle, if anything?
This is also very good, Stefan. I mean, you understand, like I said earlier, I mentioned that a little bit, talked about how important technology would play a key role in healthcare today. And, you know, the future of healthcare, certainly there's going to be a lot of technology involvement, right? So certainly SIBA is also keen into that technology to ensure that, you know, we are providing access, we're supporting our patient with the, you know, again, providing, using the right technology, right? So I also mentioned something around what we call predictive analytic model, where you're using the AI machine learning. So that's an algorithm that is built to really allow you to really proactively identify those who are at high risk, right? So that once you identify them, you're able to proactively connect with them and provide them with intervention, right? And the other aspect of it is also the automation piece, right? So because, like you said, you know, for us to be able to really be very efficient in terms of our care model, in terms of our scalability, you certainly need to be able to automate, right, the processes that we have today. And SIBA is also building what we call a condition, the clinical decision support software, which is a precision engine that really process a lot of that data and recommend treatment, but again, supervised by our doctors. So it's using the AI machine learning, the neural languages to process the data and then recommend a treatment, right? So the human loop is in the middle. So we also know that, you know, again, obviously with the scale in terms of looking at chronic disease conditions today, there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to really do all that without, you know, using technology, because again, there's going to be a lot of wait in line. There's going to be a lot of frustration with patients who probably want to see doctors, but they're not able to see. So because of, again, there's a long line of, you know, again, obviously maybe when it comes to appointment, they can't even secure an appointment. So that's where you get technology involved. And now that's why I said technology is going to play a huge role within the healthcare space today. And then suddenly we're also seeing that already. And there's going to be a lot of adoption also, as well as consolidation, right? Within the big players. Most players like us today will be also either acquiring technology platforms that can help us enhance the quality of care, that can also help us to allow us to scale, that can also provide, healthcare at a cheaper cost, right? So this is where the future of healthcare is leaning towards. Suddenly, there's no way you're going to remove a human aspect of it from healthcare, but the technology would help to enhance that ability to deliver the care at when the patient needs it. It also allow you to be able to scale as well, because again, so that more patients can have access. So it is very important. And I think that's where the future of healthcare is going. And that's why I was super excited about, you know, was when I was at Malta last year, you know, again, looking at, you know, the integration, looking at MedTech, digital health. It's all, I mean, again, it's a connection there, certainly, for sure. And then that's where healthcare is going to go. There's going to be that consolidation at some point.
Wow, you know, like, so I'm seeing so many flying pieces of puzzle, and I can kind of see this picture right in front of you, you know, of a future of healthcare, which is both digitally enabled, but also covering the needs of everyone.
Yep.
That's why I'm so kind of, I'm obsessed, I would say, about the idea of digital health for all, because it really and truly entrenches the vision of universal health coverage.
Yep.
You know, we've known that we've seen around the world situations where universal health coverage wasn't possible for one reason or another, also because of the finances involved.
Yeah.
And we know the benefits. Of course, you know, when you have universal health coverage, you also have challenges because, you know, you have waiting lists, you have people. So solution like SIBA Health and also the health coaching will allow resources to be focused on, you know, more low frequency but high stakes situations.
Yeah.
Situations which need more attention, more care, which need more of a human touch even.
Yeah.
But you mentioned MedTech word, and you know, this podcast is kind of also building on the community we've built about MedTech word. So like, did you enjoy the event? Are you looking forward? Maybe we'll see you in Malta again this year, innocent, or like, and maybe did you have some key takeaways? I know that some time has passed already, but what were some things that really struck you at the conference and you really remember and like you really want to share with us?
I mean, again, really, I want to really use this opportunity to say a very big thank you to you all for really inviting me, really allowing me to also share my insight as well as to showcase what we're doing at SIBA. You guys are doing an amazing, incredibly amazing work, right? You know, bringing together the key players, because, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, if you look at the healthcare space today, there's a lot of, you know, you have a lot of solution all across the globe, people doing what they're doing. And you really, what you did is you brought a lot of people from all over the world to be able to also share how they are doing it, how they are approaching it, and what are the challenges that they're facing there, right? So that really creates a lot of visibility. It also really also allow you to be able to also connect with your colleagues who are probably, ideally, you might not be able to connect with them, right? You're going to learn from them. What are the challenges that they're facing in terms of when they're deploying some of this technology to address some of this disease condition that we're all looking to see how we can better support our patients or even our family members. So for me, really being in the medtech world really was really very fascinating. It was a very experience that I have built long, lifelong friendship, you, Stefan, and then our friend in Holland.
Yes, yes, I remember. That was a nice evening there. I have to admit, just being seated around the table with a nice atmosphere, it was a great change, a really positive change. I really appreciated that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that, you know, bringing people to sit around the table, to even sit down and chat and share experiences, share learnings, and then what they're doing, and then how that can help you to continue to build and develop your product. I learned a lot from that conference. When I came back, I began to see how we can implement it, right? Because I think, you know, there's no way, you know, when we're building a digital healthcare world today, that we would not be able to collaborate with our colleagues who are also other part of the world. I mean, today SIBA is also in China today, right? So, you know, there's no way we could
have, China.
Yeah,
wow.
China.
Okay,
we're
wow.
China
cool.
Today. Yes, and then we have a full license to operate in China today. China has about 100 million patients with type 2 diabetes, 300 million with pre-diabetes in China. Right. So, and how was I able to even get to China? It was a similar platform to, like what you guys have today, where I was invited to speak at a conference where I talk about what we're doing. And that's how I was able to connect with the folks in China that were already, you know, signed a joint venture and already launched in China, currently seeing patients already in China. So what you're doing for me, I would say this is a great opportunity to bring people together, key players, stakeholders in the space to come and interact and share learnings, right? Again, I'm looking forward to being in Malta this year. Talk about the food, I mean, the culture. I mean, I've learned a lot. I mean, the food is great. You know, the culture is great. And I look forward to really going back to Malta. And really, one very interesting story too, I connected with Akon on the plane from Amsterdam to Malta. You know, he was right with me in the plane. I didn't realize it was Akon, right? And then, you know, until we got down on the aircraft, he invited me to get on his car with him. And that's when I found out it was Akon, right? So I got a VIP from the airport.
Nice one. You got a ride. All right.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So this is the key. I mean, really, certainly, again, you know, the really what you guys are doing is really bringing those key stakeholders together to share knowledge and really share inside experience. And, you know, there's going to be a lot that we're going to learn, right? Because, again, healthcare certainly is moving at a very fast pace and no one has a monopoly of it. So it's going to be a lot of consolidation. Like I said, we're going to learn from each other. And certainly, I look forward to the next edition in Malta, and I certainly would love to be there. And I actually connected with the folks of MedTech World. I'll be also speaking on precision medicine, the future of healthcare in Dubai next month. So,
wow.
Excited!
All right, well, that's moving fast. Cool.
Yeah.
It's. I have to admit, you know, sometimes things are moving so fast, you know, that I oh wow, I find out something, but. In a sense, I have like one small request to you now.
Yeah.
You've got 1 minute, okay, to raise awareness on any specific topic of your choice. So it doesn't have to be necessarily health related, but there might be something you would really like to raise awareness on. So you've got 1 minute now, and the floor is yours. Go for it.
Thank you so much for putting me on the spot on that. I think what I also, you know, like you said, really to raise awareness of is really, I think I would love to see, you know, really, you know, when we build solution, we want to build solution that really take into account, you know, the people, the end users, right? Because a lot of the solution that we build today, most times it does not take into account the end users, people who are going to use it, and how would they benefit from that? I think it's important, you know, as we build solution in the healthcare space, whatever we do, we should be able to take that into account, because that's the only way you can be able to really, that would allow for adoption, that would allow for continuous engagement, right? That will also create some sort of visibility, that can also create validation. So I think mostly in the healthcare space, I think it's very important for us to, you know, when we build technology like that in terms of even data sharing, we want to also be very clear how the data are shared, who owns the data. But I think really in, around the world today, we should really continue to create awareness in terms of, you know, where healthcare is going, so that people can understand that really, because there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of people who still think, you know, what we're doing with technology in the healthcare space is probably not even going to work. I mean, I remember back then in 2015 when we started that, people were like, are you out of your mind? What's going on here? But I think it's very important for us to continue to create awareness, continue to use platform like what you have today to really continue to create that, you know, generate the buzz around, you know, what's going on, sharing ideas, sharing information real time so that people can continue to follow. And I think you guys are doing an amazing job at, you know, how you also share information on LinkedIn, you know, share solutions that are out there so that people can become aware of those solutions that are available. So I think, it's a long way, more than 1 minute, but I, you know, this is what I felt that it's very important for us to really, whatever we do, we should really certainly take into account the end user.
Yeah, in fact, you're reminding me a lot of the patients included approach, that even whatever you design, you keep the user, you definitely include him in the design process. So with that in mind, Innocent, you won't believe it, but we've come to the final part of the podcast where we're like finishing off. And I would like to thank you, Innocent. Thank you to the listeners as well who are so loyal and who even like to some new users. And I would like to take the opportunity to actually encourage you to follow us on our socials via MedTechWorld. And, you know, you can even check us out also on Digital Health Malta. We're doing quite a lot there. And you can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. And also I'd like to say, because even Innocent, I hope that you're going to subscribe to our podcast after this. And you can find us pretty much on all the different podcast platforms. So we have podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can find us there. And we also love to enjoy to interact, you know. And I have one last request. So make sure that if you check out our podcast, rate it, give it a 5-star rating if you like it, and give us feedback there, because we'd love to hear from you. Why? Because you, the listeners, are the center of our attention. Thank you once again, Innocent, and I hope to see you in Malta. Cheers. Thank you.